right, everybody, let's get started. The bell's just rung outside, so we're just spot on time. Hopefully you guys had some good fellowship. Always good to have to spend some time around the family. And boy, that gluten-free pink, whatever it was, that was good. This morning, we had the opportunity to look at our favorite passage of Scripture. We all have them because at certain times in our life, there are certain verses that just mean so much to us. And again, I've got mine, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. It becomes so relevant in many, many places in our lives. But there's a problem. A lot of times when we have one particular verse, we focus on that verse, and then we don't look around that verse. And I wish I could claim this as original, but I was reading Chuck Swindoll and gave me this idea, so if it's no good, just blame him. But I took the idea from him. But he said, there are a lot of lonely verses in the Bible. It's because they're connected to such an important verse. Let me give you an example. John 3:16. Somebody quote that for me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now, quote John 3:15, 14 and 15. Well, it's probably there in front of you, but I'm going to read it. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Helps us better understand John 3:16 because of the illustration. We all know the story. Israel had sinned against God. God sent the fiery serpents along and it was killing them. He told Moses to put a serpent on a stick and hold it up, and if you look at it, you'll be healed. So that pictures Jesus being lifted up. So you see how much clearer John 3:16 becomes. Now, John 3:17, without looking, can you quote it? It says, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And, you know, so many people look at Christianity and say, this God, you know, he just condemns everybody. Hang on a minute. Jesus himself said that he didn't come into the world to condemn the world. He came into the world to where the world can be saved. That's from his own words. So if we'll look before and after our favorite verses, we'll see the context within it's written, and it's so much clearer. So today we're going to look at another favorite verse, and I don't think anybody quoted this one. Romans 8:28. And we all know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his promise. How many of you ever looked at that verse and said, boy, I like that one? Because we like to think and we believe that all things does work to our good, because that's what the Bible says. It doesn't work out according to our plans. It works to our good. And we have to have, as Graham said, faith that what God says is true. Everything will work out. But Romans 8:28, can you quote 27 or 29? We can't. So there's some more lonely verses there, you know, that are left behind. So today, what I want us to do, we're going to look at the whole chapter of Romans chapter 8. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter 8, or your iPhones, your iPads, and go to Romans chapter 8. And we're just going to look at some of the things that's in Romans chapter 8. If you only focused on verse 28, you'll miss these. All right? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that we know when you said it, that settles it. All we have to do is believe it. So we're going to look at a lot of your word today and help us to learn and to grasp those wonderful nuggets that you have given us to hold on to. Father, thank you that you have revealed your truth to us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as we go through Romans 8, we're going to see some real nuggets that will be promises and blessings. Then we're going to see some instruction that we need to apply. Anybody here need instruction for their life? Me too. And then we're going to look at some fabulous promises. So let's get started. Romans chapter 8. And again, this is the shining star of the whole book of Romans, is Romans 8. It kind of pulls it all together. Verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Somebody say hallelujah. And it says, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit, depending on the translation that you're reading. But if we're in Jesus Christ, you've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. It doesn't matter what other people say. It doesn't even matter what the devil says. You, as a believer, when you're standing before God, there is now no condemnation. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Folks, that's exciting. You've got to get your head around this. God is holy and we are not. Everybody agree? And there is no way that you and I can even approach God. It is impossible because He's holy. We can't even be in His presence. But through Jesus, He has made us accepted. He gives us the invitation to come before Him, come into the presence of God, into the throne room, and sit down and spend a while. Why? In Christ. Because we're not condemned. This lady on the back was saying, I'm forgiven yesterday, I'm forgiven today, I'm forgiven tomorrow, and that's what it means. There is therefore now no condemnation. Now take that one home and enjoy it. Don't listen to what the tempter says. You are special. You are not condemned. Say it to yourself. I am not condemned. Go ahead. That's going to sink in sometime. And this is how he did it. Verses 3 and 4. The law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. Amen. So God did what the law could not do. He sent His own Son in a body, like the bodies we sinners have. And in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving us His Son as a sacrifice for our sins. Because God sent Jesus to live in the human body, He died, He rose again, and because of that, when we trust Him, sin no longer has control over us. All these questions are, well, how come I do this all the time? How come I mess up here? Well, how come? Did you know sin is a choice? Everybody agree with me? Sin is a choice. We have a choice. The Bible said there's no temptation comes to us unless we can handle it through Jesus. So, but because we're in Christ, we have a choice. We just need to make the right choice. When we start taking responsibility for our choices, things get a little better. Okay? So already we see we're no longer condemned, and the power of sin, it no longer controls us. All right, let's continue. Here's some instruction, though. Verse number 5-8. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set your mind on the flesh is death, but to set your mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. There's two kinds of people in the world. Only two. Those who focus on the Spirit and those who focus on themselves. Which are you? It's a pretty deep question. It's something that you need to ask yourself. When the Holy Spirit gives us a prompting, do we hear and obey? Or do we explain it away and say, yeah, but this is so much fun, I'm just going to do it, and I'm used to having my way anyway, so I'm going to go ahead and do it. That's all right. I can ask for forgiveness, and I'll just go on. Where's your mindset? Is it focused on the Spirit, or is it focused on the flesh? Christians can focus on the flesh. Let me say it again. Let me add a word. Christians can choose to focus on the flesh. You don't have to. You don't have to. Now, let's look at a promise. Verse 11. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, does anybody hear the Spirit lives in you? How many Christians here today? You know that. You're sure. All right, if you're a Christian today, the Bible teaches us the Holy Spirit comes inside. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, and that's you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies. Hey, this life is not all there is. Somebody say, praise the Lord. How many is looking forward to eternity? Yeah, I got this surgery coming up. I won't have to worry about that for a couple of million years, all right? I won't have to worry about, and you don't have to worry about pains and aches. And I know that the older we get, there's more pains and aches, right? Doesn't get better? We don't have to worry about that once we get to heaven. I mean, eternity. Eternity. And down through the centuries, for 2,000 years, that thought motivated Christians. The fact that this is not all there is. But guess what happened? Several hundred years ago, the church started focusing on other things than eternity. And it lost its power. It lost its strength. Because you've lost your hope. Folks, heaven is real. And if the Holy Spirit lives within you, one day, He's going to push a button in. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, you will be changed. We're out of here. You need to be ready. Now, why do we have to look to the instruction part? Let's go ahead since it's there. Verses 13 through 14. Talking about focusing on the flesh or spirit. For if you live according to the flesh, somebody want to read the next few words? You'll die. Where's your focus needs to be? But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. What do you want to do? Anybody here want to live? Yes. We need to focus on the Spirit. Focus on the Spirit. Verse 14, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. You know what? If we focus on the Spirit, we can be known as children of God. Folks, it's time we stop being embarrassed to be known as children of God. Now, I know that Western culture in general is moving away from Christianity. Now, I'm not talking about being belligerent. I'm talking about living a solid Christian witness, reflecting the character of Christ within us, and be proud to be a believer. I think we need to do that. I think we need to do that. Now, here's another one. Verse 15. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. Folks, that's a good one in itself. But you received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. God, the creator of all things, you and I have the opportunity to rightfully call him our Father. That's why Jesus said in his prayer, Our Father who art in heaven. And we can call God Father. Folks, listen. The people who can call God Father in this world today is in a small minority. So folks, we should be proud to be able to call God our Father, because the Holy Spirit lives within us. And Jesus himself said, we can call him Father. And there's some benefits of him being our Father. Look at verse 16 and 17. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ. Before we look at that last part, I want to talk about what is an heir? Somebody tell me quickly, what is an heir? Not an heir, an heir. Someone inherits something, right? Anybody got any rich parents or grandparents? Or yeah, I don't have any of those. I think my son's going to inherit our bills or something like that. But anyway, but probably not a lot of us are going to inherit a lot of money, okay? But if this verse is true, and we believe it is, then you and I as believers are joint heirs with Jesus. Now, what does he own? A little louder, Daphne? Everything. He owns everything. He owns the universe. He can do anything. He is all powerful. He is all. Folks, we are joint heirs with Jesus. Now, folks, we don't really understand what that means. And one of these days when we get to heaven, it's going to smack us across the head as we begin to enjoy our inheritance. So, folks, we are joint heirs with Christ. Now, one little thing at the end of that verse. Provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. Now, forget this suffering thing. Folks, Jesus lived a perfect life. He never sinned. He never did anything wrong. He always did the best for everyone. Yet he suffered. He was too good for them. But folks, if we choose to do good in our lives and to do what's right, you're going to suffer some persecution. Now, I'm not talking about being belligerent or activist and all these, because you're just asking for it when you do that. But if you live a good, solid Christian life, you're going to receive some persecution. I wish I could tell you, you don't have to worry about it. But you're going to be persecuted some. And when that happens, the Bible says, count it all joy when you suffer persecution for his name's sake. All joy. Now, won't that be something the next time we're persecuted, we go, yes, let's go. Yeah, I don't know if I can do that. But down in your heart, you know if you're persecuted for him, just praise God. Because there's another verse coming up I want to read to you. Look at verse 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time, everything that we go through here, everything, the pains, the aches, the sorrow, the losses, the heartaches, the persecutions, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. What does that mean? I've got an active imagination, and I'm sorry, the Bible says, eye hasn't seen, ear hasn't heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for those of us who love him. It just, and you know what? The Apostle Paul was able to go up into the third heaven, and he saw wonderful things. And you know what God told him to do? Don't write it down. I don't want them to know. So what's this glory going to be like? I don't have a clue. But it'll be better than here. And I'm looking forward to it. How about you? You see what we get as believers? That's part of our inheritance as believers. Is it worth a little persecution and suffering? Yes. Because we might, anybody here plan to live 100 years? I don't. I was talking to two people today, this week, who live at Garden Village. One's 99, and his brain is sharper than mine will ever be. And the other one was 106, and she's sharper than the both of us. Folks, ain't nobody in my family ever done that. So I don't expect it's going to come my way. But both of them are godly Christians. And they're giving God the glory. I couldn't even get away from the guy that was 99. He wanted to talk about the Bible. You know, here we go. But folks, even if you live to be, if you live 100 years here, and you go through what we humans go through here, it's not anywhere near the glory that we're going to enjoy when we're glorified and God gives us our inheritance. Folks, there's so much in this book. Let's go on. A lot of people think the world is going to continue. Well, things are going to change because the world really is kind of in a bad way. You know, last week we talked about the beauty in nature, and nature, I love nature. It's so gorgeous. But it is still not what God intended it to be. It's got to shake some things off. And let me just read what Paul said about that in verse 19 through 22. For all creation is waiting eagerly for the future day when God will reveal who his children really are. Against its will, all creation was subject to God's curse. But with eager hope, the creation looks forward to the day when it will join God's children in glorious freedom from decay and death. For we know that all creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to this present time. So we know that nature is not completely what God wants it to be. As beautiful as it is, it's still not where God wants it to be. Well, what does God want it to be? Isaiah gives us a snapshot, and I'm going to read that to you. Isaiah 11. In that day, now get this, the wolf and the lamb will live together. The leopard will not lay down with the baby goat. You ever seen that happen today? The calf and the yearling will be safe around the lion. Let's make it personal. And a little child will lead them all. Can you imagine a 6-year-old leading a lion around by the beard. You see, the curse of sin will be gone when God regenerates this world. All of that death and destruction and dying and destroying and killing is over. It's gone. He goes on, the cow will graze with the bear. The cub and the calf will lie down together. The lion will eat hay like a cow. The baby will play safely near the hole of a cobra. Yes, a little child will put its hand in a nest of deadly cobra snakes without harm. Nothing will hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for as the waters fill the sea, so the earth will be filled with people who know the Lord. Folks, do you see what's in this book? We don't have a clue what's coming. But if you're a Christian, it's going to be yours. It's going to be yours. I'm going to read one more verse. Do you know the times? Everybody here has been through struggles, right? Has anybody ever been in a situation where you just didn't know what to do or say? Matter of fact, you didn't even know how to pray. Anybody ever been under that much pressure? Did you know we got a helper that will help us pray? Let me read that. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches hearts knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Evangelist Ed Ballou, a Cherokee Indian evangelist, explained that the best I've ever seen. We're over here, we're going through agony, and we're just weeping and sip, and we've cried all the tears that we can cry, and we don't know what to do, and all we can say is, the Holy Spirit says, I got that. And He takes it right straight through to the throne room. Says, God, did you hear that? This is what He's praying. He can't say it, but this is exactly what He's saying. I know His heart. So can you help Him? God says, I got that. And He comes over and He answers that. I know that's kind of simplistic, but that's what happens. When you feel that agony and the pain of pressure and you just moan, Holy Spirit says, yes, let's go. And He takes your prayer right into the throne room. That is a promise when you're broken and you're hurting and you don't know where to turn. And guess what? We've just now got to Romans 8:28. You see how much is in that book of ours? Folks, there are so much that we can enjoy in the Bible. So much that we can apply, because when we're hurting, we have a Holy Spirit that's going to pick us up and carry us out. He's going to pray for us. He's going to give us strength. And folks, keep this in mind. This world is not my home. As the old song says, I'm just a passing through. Wish I could think of the rest of the words. I'm just a passing through. Well, whatever it is, it's pretty good, all right? So, folks, I would encourage you, and I'm going to stop right there, run out of time, but to start at Romans 8:28 and read the rest of the chapter, okay? How many's going to do that? There's some more good stuff in there, all right? So get it and feast on what God has included in one chapter in the Bible. Let's stand. Let's pray. Father, I sure hope that everybody in here has made that choice to follow Jesus. through Jesus, you've done so much for us. It's overwhelming what you've done for us and you plan to do for us. And that only comes to us for one reason and one reason alone. And it's through Jesus who purchased that right when he died on Calvary. Father, I pray that if anybody here today has not made that choice to trust Jesus as Savior, that before they lay down tonight, or even perhaps when they put their head down on their pillow, they will invite Jesus into their life, where they can become part of your international, worldwide family. Thank you for your word. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Have a good week, and if the Lord returns, it's going to get good.